Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Chair Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. In today's show, we'll be talking about conscious compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Chair Huber on World Talk Radio. And welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Great to hear your voice.
And good to hear yours. I love hearing our voices on the radio.
Yes, it's exciting.
It means we're still on the radio. That's a good thing for us.
Haven't been pulled yet.
That's right. They haven't canceled us.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Sherry, is life going faster, or am I just kind of into life?
Are you slowing down?
I don't know.
Uh-huh. And what does it seem like?
It seems like conditioning is really getting the squeeze.
Uh-huh.
And really doesn't like it.
Well, now, see, that's an interesting direction that you go in, I think.
Uh-huh.
Because is life going faster? Usually what happens is when life is going really fast, conditioning is behind the wheel with its evil little foot on the pedal, and it's the heart that's being, what was your word, squeezed?
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah. Your authentic nature or your heart or essential being is getting squeezed out because of the urgency and busyness of conditioned mind. So I find that extremely heartening, that this is a busyness that conditioning is, that you're aware that conditioning is having a hard time dealing with it. I think that's marvelous. That's why we do practice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's exciting.
It really is, isn't it? When we're not listening to the voices of conditioning saying, I don't like this, this is too hard, this is miserable, I don't want to, buy your favorite six-pack of beer or wine or ice cream or whatever it is and get in front of that TV set and just go unconscious for a period of time.
Yeah.
Then to watch everything heat up and to watch conditioning kind of begin to squirm and be revealed for the non-helpful force in our lives that it is, very exciting.
Yes. It feels like there's less time for those distractions that conditioning wants to take me to.
Yes, that's extraordinary. You know, that's the life of a monk.
Uh-huh. Yes.
It really is. That's what people who are doing monastic training report.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm just too busy for conditioning. If I go unconscious, I miss too much.
Yes.
And so most of the rest of the conditioned world, of course, is just going faster and faster and faster, but the result is distraction, not a greater call to presence.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Let me make a couple of announcements here, Sherry. If people want to email us when we're not on the air, you can reach us at openair@livingcompassion.org. And also, there are archives of all these shows right here on the same website that you're listening to, worldtalkradio.com. And if you'd like to call us today, we'd love to hear from you. The phone number is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 888-514-2100. The phone lines are open here. Again, that's 888-514-2100. Sherry, should we do a little update on where you're going to be and where people can find you?
Yeah, because then it helps clarify things for me, too.
Wonderful. So, from March 14th to 18th, you're going to be in Germany.
I am. Actually, I think I leave on the 11th, so there's something that happens before that retreat.
Uh-huh.
I think some kind of a speaking thing, so it's a little longer than that, but yes, essentially from the 10th to the 20th, but that retreat is from the 14th to the 18th, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
For There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be a retreat with you at the monastery later in March.
Yes. I think a couple of 3 days after I get back, so I I should be a lot of fun. On a different time zone from everyone in the retreat. They can, you know, it's like some of those old Zen cartoons. They can just watch me sleep up there.
Or you could change the retreat schedule to be in the evening.
Exactly. We'll do it on German time. That's a good idea.
Wonderful. And then April 8 and 9, you'll be in Denver, Colorado.
Yes, for something that I think is just going to be almost more fun than a person probably should be having doing awareness practice. And you know, I think a person should be having a lot of fun doing awareness practice. But I'm going to be with Craig Zablocki, and you know what that's like, because
yes,
the three of us have done workshops together before.
Yes.
And so it's really a Zen improv workshop.
Zen improv.
Yeah, and since, you know, Zen practice is improv.
Yes.
It really is. So living in the moment is improv.
Yes.
And there'll be a lot of fun and kind of craziness and that sort of thing. So I'm really looking forward to that.
So if you're anywhere near Colorado?
Yes. Or even if, you know, you want to be like
not
me and fly in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's in Denver.
That's in Denver, April 8 and 9. And then Radical Self-Acceptance in Fairfax, Virginia.
Yes, Fairfax, Virginia on Saturday. And now you were at the retreat or the workshop on Sunday on Radical
Self-Acceptance. Well, I was just going to give my own personal plug for Radical Self-Acceptance.
Because, it's a good thing, isn't it?
It is radical because I don't get to hold on to those little bits of, you know, parts of myself that I can't accept.
Yeah.
There's a call to just as I am today.
Yeah. Just let it all go and get here.
Warts and all.
Yeah, warts and all. Ooh. Yeah, very thrilling. Yeah, so we're going to do that on Saturday, and then the next or that evening, I'll fly to Pittsburgh, where we're going to do a big day on creating, establishing, participating in a global community for peace.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful.
And it takes a lot of radical self-acceptance to pull that off, so they do work rather well together.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Global peace and radical self-acceptance.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I can tell, the reason that the world is in the condition that it's in is self-hatred.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's egocentric karmic conditioning, it's constant focus on not enough and something wrong, the dissatisfaction that just drives the greed, hate, and delusion, you know, that... Since these are all words of the Buddha, you know, nothing has changed in an awful long time. In fact, I was kidding people about this at a I think it was in Boulder a couple of weeks ago, because people are, I think we talked about it on Sunday too, people are so concerned about accepting themselves that, you know, that this is going to lead to all kinds of awful things. And, you know, the point that I was making is we have tried self-hatred for as long as there have been human beings.
Yes.
Look at the world we have created
using
these techniques.
Yes.
You know, and then we have periodically some nutcase on the fringe of society like Mahatma Gandhi or Martin Luther King or Mother Teresa or, you know, I always list my personal favorites who say, you know, it doesn't have to be this way, folks.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. We can operate from compassion. We can be understanding. We can be kind to one another and not make the world any worse. And just possibly, it would be better.
Yes. Or as I've heard you say, we could try it for a month, and then if it wasn't better, we could go back to self-hatred.
Precisely. If we all become more selfish and egocentric and indulgent than we are right now, we can go back to beating ourselves up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Sherry, and then later in May, you'll be back on the East Coast in Massachusetts, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh.
Harrisburg.
Again, if you're anywhere near there, feel free to go visit Sherry. And if you're not anywhere near there.
That's right. Come and see me. We're going to do a... I think the thing that we're doing at Kripalu this year is on depression.
Yes, it is.
And I have not done anything on depression for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And just did a workshop in Austin on that subject. And, you know, because I just hear from so many people who are struggling with depression and you know, I'm so enthusiastic about depression. So I think that'll be a lot of fun, and hopefully a lot of insights and that sort of thing for us depressed types.
Yeah.
And for depressed people and the people who love us.
Yeah.
You know, that would be a good group to attend.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, that takes care of my schedule.
That takes care of your schedule. And if you want to check out any of those details, please go to Sherry's website, which is sherryhuber.com, spelled C-H-E-R-I-H-U-B-E-R.com.
You know, the other thing, Michael, as long as we're talking about schedule, for the next year, what I'm going to be doing is an email class on dismantling the ego.
Yeah.
So in case somebody didn't get that information, we just started it today. We're going to take late signups for a couple of weeks. So.
Oh, wonderful.
If you want something to do for the next year of your life, just a mere 52 weeks, you can, you can check that out and join us. It's a good, I wanted to do it because I just want to see, you know, the short email classes, people talk about how helpful they are, you know, that daily reminder. And I thought, well, then let's have a daily reminder for like 365 days and see what we can accomplish.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about it.
Wonderful. And at the risk of repeating myself, I want to put a plug in for the email classes. And I've been amazed at my experience with them as well. Just feeling like there's a real sense of sangha.
Yeah.
You know, of other people
on a daily basis
doing this work.
Yeah, yeah. All in it together. We're all doing this together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good feeling.
And if you're interested in that, please go to livingcompassion.org. Again, that's livingcompassion.org, and there'll be details there about how to sign up for the 52-week, year-long, daily support for awareness practice.
Mm-hmm. There. Now, that's probably the longest commercial in the history of commercials, right?
Yes. Well, we don't want people to miss out.
No, I really don't want people to miss out.
There's a lot of wonderful opportunities.
Yep.
And it seems to me that, you know, offering the practice in as many ways as possible over as many technologies or media is really, really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I certainly enjoy it, so I'll keep doing it.
Great. If you want to join our conversation today, we would love to hear from you. The phone lines are open here, and the number is 888-514-2100. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada. Sherry, I have an email question here.
Oh, great.
And the subject is, what do you do?
What do you do?
That's the subject, yes.
Uh-huh.
This is a very real...
I could do a good half hour, 45 minutes just on that. But I'm gonna wait until we get to a little more information.
You're going to give me a couple minute or two here?
Yeah, yeah.
This is a very real, painful situation to me. I hope it gets answered. Because of the choices I've made in the past, I have limited opportunities. I'm stuck. I work for someone who is abusive and is a liar, a constant liar. He, quote, promises work that I would find wonderful if I complete a given project, which is really hard to accomplish. If I don't complete this project, I get punished severely and end up doing something I hate, something which is really difficult and painful for a very long time. His credibility is very poor, and I don't have much motivation to work hard, but I'm afraid of the negative consequences if I don't obey. The situation very much feels like being a slave to a cruel master. Obey or severe punishment. What do you do? How can you find peace in this situation? From a listener.
Okay. Well, I'm taking this very, very seriously. And I'm afraid I need more information, because everything in me says, you know, slavery has been outlawed.
Uh-huh.
And so this has to be, I'm guessing, some sort of mutual arrangement.
Uh-huh.
And what do you do? Everything in me says, quit.
Uh-huh.
Leave. Now, then, you know, the response that I hear, that everybody hears, is, well, I can't do that. You know, I don't have any money. I can't do, I've got to stay in these circumstances because if I don't, then blah, 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 blah. And we go into a story.
Uh-huh.
But if the writer's circumstances are that dire there's no choice. Uh-huh. That's like saying, I have this, I know of this child who is in this abusive situation, the abuse is horrible, it's intolerable. How can I be happy watching these circumstances?
Uh-huh.
Well, you can't. That's the whole point. It doesn't mean we have to be judgmental. It doesn't mean we have to be hateful. We don't have to be punishing. It just means that we devote all of our time and attention to getting out of there. So I need to hear from this person what possible circumstances could be in place that would keep somebody in that situation.
Uh-huh. What are the circumstances that would keep someone?
Yeah, I mean, how is that possible? How is that possible?
Uh-huh. How is it possible that it would be so bad and feel like you couldn't get out of it?
Yeah, and the person would say.
Uh-huh.
I go back to when I first wanted to go into the monastery where I trained. It was in a little town and, way out in the middle of nowhere, and there was a waiting period before I could get in. I wasn't even sure that I could get in, that I would be allowed to enter the monastery. And I cleaned houses and picked apples when they were in season. And, I had the most bizarre series and often simultaneous part-time jobs that I was putting together in order to be there in that little town and also contribute financially to the monastery. Now, was it romantic? Was it, do I want these on my resume? No. But this is clearly a smart, articulate person.
Uh-huh.
And so there's always a way that someone like that can make it in the world long enough to get into better circumstances, if nothing else, to throw oneself on the mercy of agencies and groups that exist to help people out of dire circumstances.
Yeah.
So I need to hear more before I'm convinced that this person should even want to try to figure out how to be all right. Why would you want to do that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so maybe the writer will write again and give us a little more information.
Oh, wonderful.
And in the meantime, I hope we'll take to heart some of the things that I'm saying.
Yes.
And really look at what is really, truly stopping me.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Because we've always got to look at that.
Yeah.
We've always got to look at that. one of my favorite quotes is, argue for your limitations and they will be yours. And so often we argue for our limitations without even realizing that's what we're doing.
Uh-huh.
We're constantly affirming a life for ourselves that we don't want.
Uh-huh.
So bringing conscious awareness to that, to looking at what works, what I have to be grateful for, how I can be helpful, how I can make a contribution, what can I do to make my life circumstances more in keeping with conscious compassion and awareness.
Uh-huh.
And when we start looking at life in that way, it's amazing the kinds of things that open up.
Wonderful. Sherry, we are at the end of our first segment here. We have a caller who we're going to talk to after this break. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio, and we'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Coming up in our next segment, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassion and awareness. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, shall we talk to our caller here?
Yes, please.
All right. I'd like to welcome Rich. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
I had an opportunity to be at the Radical Acceptance Workshop this weekend.
Uh-huh.
Last weekend. And I was looking at, as it ended, one of the encouragements was to really accept one small thing about yourself and start with something that's doable.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I wrote down, I have my notes here, and I wrote down, I have a tendency to get distracted. And I'd just like to talk a little bit about that and what I see in that, if I might.
Uh-huh.
Because it looks like the tip of the iceberg, you know. It looks like...
yeah, I know what you mean.
It's like it happens to me, you know. I'm like a victim when I'm not aware.
Uh-huh.
And there is almost not even a choice. As a matter of fact, during lunch, I was late coming back because I stopped into a bookshop. It was like a magnet, you know. And I was only late about a minute, but this is a pattern, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I had to laugh when I, you know, when I was about a minute late coming back from lunch because there it was again, right in front of me.
Aha. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So how do I allow myself to?
So let me ask you this.
Yes.
What do you do to yourself? How do you treat yourself when this happens to you? So there you are, distracted again.
Distracted again. Actually, I didn't really beat myself up. I just noticed that almost everybody was in the room, and it was about a minute late, and I knew I left in time to get back, and I just looked at that, and I started chuckling, actually, to myself, because we were talking about acceptance, and I just said, oh, there it is again, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's not that I beat myself up. It's that it's after the fact I get aware, you know?
Yes, but historically, what has that meant? You know, what's in place in your life? How do you treat yourself? How do other people treat you? What kind of a reputation do you have since you're this guy who can't stay focused?
Well, I can see now that I can see your questions going, and I can see that even for my own self-image, it seems I don't get as much accomplished as I set out to do because I don't finish what I start because I get distracted.
Mm-hmm. And so does that kind of hurt your self-esteem?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Do you find yourself not putting yourself out there? Do you take on less? Do you...
Well, part of it is I take on... I have so many ideas and so many things that can be done. And sometimes, like I'm in a process right now of a lot of balls in the air, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so I really have to look at being more organized and getting accomplished what I commit to getting accomplished.
And do you carry around a fear that you're actually not going to be able to follow through and pull this off because here are all these balls in the air and you're going to wander into a bookstore somewhere and they're all going to crash down around you?
It's not a conscious fear, but it's just kind of this gnawing feeling. So I guess it is a fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
It's not something that I'm consciously aware of all the time,
yeah.
But I am aware that something's not getting done that I committed to.
Yeah. So here's an image that I think will give you an idea of what I'm where I'm going with this. So you don't have good bladder control.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go somewhere, you need to be mindful of when you were last at a bathroom and where your next bathroom is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Can you picture it?
I can picture it.
Yeah, because the consequences of not keeping that information at the front of your conscious awareness are going to be really embarrassing.
Yeah.
Okay? So you would only probably have to have a couple of accidents before you would get it.
Yeah.
You'd be right there. Okay?
Yeah.
So this is the same kind of process. So this is no longer, with self-acceptance, with acceptance of something like this, what you get is, I'm a person who's easily distracted. There's no self-hate with this. There's no, it's just like I don't have good bladder control. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is.
Okay.
So the fact that I am this way means I have to be heads up about this all the time.
Yeah.
Okay? So I don't... what conditioning wants you to do is just kind of go to sleep and drift off and forget that you're that way.
Right.
So then you do the behavior again, and there you are. So it has to take on that kind of largeness.
Right.
In
you know,
life.
If it's not television and the newspaper, it's the, you know, I've given up television and the newspaper, and now there's internet, you know?
That's right.
So there's always something going to fill that void unless awareness, conscious compassion awareness comes to the fore.
That's right. And so if you were, if you had a 14-year-old son and he's already got the ADD diagnosis,
mm-hmm.
right, and you know, he's not doing well in school, and he's just gone.
Yeah.
You would not just turn him loose with the computer, because you know he would surface hours later.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So you'd have a timer. You would have a timer, and you would say to him, "Okay, you have a half an hour."
Yeah.
And then the timer's going to go off, and you're going to go do something else.
Right.
And you wouldn't be doing that to punish him. You would be doing that to support him.
Yes.
Because, you know, beating him up isn't going to help. Making him feel bad about himself isn't going to help. But supporting him in realizing how he is and where he needs to be focusing his attention, because he has somebody... at our very workshop on Sunday, came up to me afterwards, and she has a diagnosis of ADD or ADHD or whatever the heck it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was looking at, how much do I buy into this? And I said, not at all. Not at all. All it means is maybe, and we don't actually know this, maybe you have to work harder at paying attention.
Yeah.
But we all have to work hard at paying attention. We all have to work to stay here, conscious and present.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anybody for whom it was easy in the beginning.
Yes.
So there you are. And you want to support this guy to be as effective and successful and as confident and feeling good about himself as he can be.
Yeah.
And the way you're going to do that is by helping him establish these guidelines and places to look to, you know, a program for him.
Yes.
To me, that's the piece of self-acceptance that's so important. People think self-acceptance, okay, self-acceptance means, hey, you're easily distractible, so just, you know, go be distracted for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Forget to shower, forget to brush your teeth, forget to get up in the morning, because
mm-hmm.
We're practicing self-acceptance. No. Self-acceptance means, this is how I am. Now, how am I going to work with this to bring conscious, compassionate awareness to this person and this particular set of life circumstances?
Yeah, and compassionate self-discipline is something that I've kind of struggled with.
Yeah. Well, we've got a book coming out, and I think you're going to enjoy it.
I think I will.
Yeah.
And one other thing before I go, Sherry, you said something in the workshop that I thought was so important that I thought it might be helpful for people on the radio, and that is you said, one of the things that was so important to get across is to people is, how do we actually know what we know?
Uh-huh.
If we were born at another time or in another culture or another gender, and no one really looks at that. Religion doesn't look at it. Science doesn't look at it. And to contemplate that, how do we really know what we know?
Yes.
Opens up vast vistas on just how ignorant and how unconscious you know, I can be when I don't question where I got that information.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It's so powerful. You know, with you, there you are, a male,
mm-hmm.
and so your whole orientation to life as a male in this culture at this time, you know, the time that you were born and how you grew up, how you were conditioned, how you were treated, your whole way of looking at yourself and your life is in large part as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could have been born a girl, and everything else in your life was the same, and you would have a really different take on life, different expectations for yourself, different standards by which you judge yourself, different projections onto the world. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting that from my relationship with my partner. I could see how she sees things differently, you know.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, what we're conditioned to do is try to figure out who's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, that's where the battle is. And whatever the difference is, well, which one of us is right? Which one of us has the correct opinions? And it has nothing to do with that. You know, we're both right, we're both wrong.
Yeah.
All we're saying is, I see it this way, you see it that way. And, of course, you know, world peace depends on us getting to the place of saying, can you help me see how you see it? Because I have this really different conditioning, and it's hard for me to understand that. So would you help me understand that?
I'd like to put a plug in for that. We've been doing that the last 2 or 3 months, and our relationship has improved 100%. It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. If for the first time you get on the same side and you actually become what I think people go into relationship for, you're close to one another, you're choosing one another, you're looking at issues from the same side, you're supporting one another, championing
one another. And it gets back to the same question, how do I know what I think I know? And then just loosening that up a little bit opens up communication lines. And
And then in a relationship, to be open to the possibility that neither one of us knows
right.
what we're talking about.
Right.
So then we can both be open to a third possibility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much.
Oh,
really,
thank you.
Really helped. And look forward to the next workshop.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Rich. Thanks for joining the show, Rich. It's great to have you on the air. Sherry, I was really struck the way you framed that question within a relationship. Can you tell me how you're seeing that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't quite get there.
Yeah. I'm quite certain I have the capacity to understand this, and it's not immediate.
Uh-huh.
It's really counter to what I've been taught to believe. And you know, when we're no longer taking our conditioning personally, when I no longer believe that my conditioning is who I am, then it's, you know, you speak Russian and I speak Portuguese. You know, it's not personal. You know, it's not that either one of us is speaking the right language.
Yeah.
It's that we have to get to something common if we're going to be able to communicate together.
Yes. Yes. Wow. Not taking my conditioning personally.
Yeah, and realizing it.
And realizing that it's not me.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with me.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
Isn't
big.
That just kind of revolutionary? Because, you know, I mean, I know I have these kind of bizarre attitudes about things. But, you know, just as simple as people are so attached to a name.
Uh-huh.
Forgetting that names are just made up. You know, people can get distraught about not having any male heirs to carry on the name.
Uh-huh.
It's a name. You know, it doesn't mean anything.
Yes.
If we could get that, you know, then just, you know, let's all pick names that sort of fit our mood right now, or you know, let's all take Russian names, or let's all take Chinese names,
You know, or just numbers,
or colors, or whatever, and then let's change them really often, so
yeah.
that we don't get locked into this. This is who I am. This is my tribe. This is my land, and you have to die. Because you are not of my tribe or of my land, and somehow that threatens me.
Yes.
Because we could go in exactly the opposite direction, right? We could actually do what people interested in diversity are working toward, which is we could appreciate the differences.
Uh-huh.
We don't have to believe them, but it is a different experience to grow up in Iceland than Maui.
Yes.
you know, it doesn't mean anything about who we are. We don't have to live that for the rest of our lives, but it is interesting.
Yes. Wow. You're listening to Open Air with Sarah Huber on World Talk Radio. I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am. We're at the end of our second segment here, and we'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sarah Huber. You're listening to Open Air with Sarah Huber on World Talk Radio. Keep it tuned here for our final and third segment of today's show. We'll be continuing our conversation about conscious compassion awareness. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sarah Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Today, we've been talking about conditioning and paying attention and getting distracted. And if you'd like to join our conversation, we'd love to hear from you. The phone number is toll-free, 888-514-2100. The phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. Sherry, it is fascinating that coming back and forth between getting distracted and coming back to the present and how that happens.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. It's it is so much, as we are saying constantly, it is so much more interesting than beating ourselves up for not being the person we should be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Michael, we don't have anybody pending.
Not in this moment.
All right. Well, I want to talk about something then.
Good. Let's hear it.
Well, it's something that we're going to do this weekend.
Wonderful.
This Saturday, that I just think is one of the most fun things that we do, and I want to tell people about it.
Wonderful.
And that is, as you know, we're going to be doing another one of our Celebrating Your Life events.
Yeah.
And so for people who don't know anything about that, a number of years ago, we did an email class on celebrating your life. And
and
we went through and did all of the, okay, so when you die, rather than leaving it up to these poor, distraught, bereft people to figure out how to do a memorial service for you, wouldn't it be a kindness to lay the whole thing out for them?
Uh-huh.
And so you pick, you know, who you want to do this and who you want to do that and what the music is going to be and what they say and how the party is and what you want them to serve. And, you know, you just lay out the whole thing. And then we got to, but an even more compassionate thing is to do it all yourself before you die.
Uh-huh.
Because then they don't have to have any of the strain of that. And additionally, you're there to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because so often at a memorial service, you know, there's that feeling, or a funeral, of, oh, boy, I wish, you know, I wish I'd said that to old so-and-so before he passed on. You know, I thought sure we'd have time, and, you know, we've just kind of grown apart recently or whatever it is. And I didn't get to tell her that, you know, there's that feeling of not being complete. So in this way of doing it, you get to say all of that. The person is right there. They get to hear it. And then you have a big party together afterwards. And then whenever you do go, you know, it's just a different feeling.
Uh-huh.
And so we've done that several times. As you know, I did it on one of my recent big birthdays, and you did it on your last one. And now we're going to have that kind of celebration for Phil this Saturday, and for those around the practice, you know Phil, and she's been with us forever.
Yeah.
So we're going to celebrate her life, and I just wanted to let people know about that because it's such a fun way to be with people, and such a wonderful way to honor one another and get to say the kinds of things that sometimes we're self-conscious about coming right out and saying to people.
Yeah.
But you know, if it's kind of behind their back, you can stand up there and say great things about them, and they get to hear, and it's just a feel-good all-the-way-around kind of thing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Wonderful. I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, everybody's very, very excited. It's like a big birthday party, only it's not quite so superficial. It's a very deep birthday party.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Great. Sherry, we have a caller who would like to talk with us.
I'm eager.
I'd like to welcome Wanda. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi.
Hi, Wanda.
Hi. Regarding the dissolving your ego class.
Uh-huh.
I've been debating with myself. My conditioning has been debating with me on whether to take it or not. And part of what it keeps throwing at me is, well, who is it that wants to dissolve ego? Isn't
who is this who wants to what?
That wants to dissolve ego.
Uh-huh. Now, keep in mind, the actual name of the class is Dismantling.
Oh, okay.
Dismantling the ego.
Uh-huh. So who is it that wants to dismantle ego? And I keep trying to check that out because it seems like it's actually my self-hatred conditioning and my ego that still demands that I change and be different than I am. And if that's the one that's going to sign up for the class, then it seems like it would just reinforce that. But I know that there's another approach of where it can be coming from, where it's not coming from self-hatred, where it is coming from self-acceptance. Could you talk about discerning between the two?
Well, directions? I think what you're pointing at is, kind of essential. Self-hatred, and I just actually sent out the first thing today, and what I was, I just did a little, defining terms, and so egocentricity, ego, an illusion of a separate self, the small self, they're all of these ways that we have of talking about that illusion of a separate self that is, believes itself to be outside life, that is, in this case, watching you, talking to you, kind of second-guessing you, and that sort of thing. So how do we know whether what we're doing is coming from there or is coming from something that we might think of as authenticity or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge part of what the class is going to be about. And the thing about it is, the reason that I got on this dismantling the ego jag in the first place, I hope it's not a jag. I hope it's kind of direction that we go in forever, is that so much of what happens in life, whether it's with religion or spirituality or psychology or whatever, is conditioned mind, egocentricity, learning a new system, new language, new ways of judging you and that sort of thing. And so it just gets more and more sort of ammunition in its arsenal to prove to you what's wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, is it going to do that? Always. Always. It will use every single thing about you, everything you encounter, everything in your life, to attempt to maintain that I'm not you, I'm in control of your life, you will do what I tell you, and I can make you feel bad anytime I choose position in your life. You know what I mean by all of that?
Yeah, because like all the self-improvement techniques get co-opted by that.
Exactly, and they all get used against you.
Right.
So there you are desperately trying to improve yourself, and the very fact that you're trying to improve yourself is all the proof that conditioned mind needs that you still believe there's something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm. So it's right? More rejection instead of self-acceptance.
Yeah. So what we're going to do in this class, and the reason I'm so excited about it, is that we are going to, so imagine that conditioned mind has a flashlight or a spotlight, and it's shining it on you. And it's just analyzing how you're feeling and what you're doing and what you're thinking and why that and whether you're improving and how you're improving and are you any better than you were, but noticing how, yeah, but you still do this and you still do that and that's, you know that process?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Is that kind of familiar from your daily life?
Yes.
Yeah. So what we're going to do...
Wanda, can you speak up just a little bit?
Yes, sorry.
Thank you.
What we're going to do is reach over and take that flashlight, that spotlight, and we're going to turn it on conditioned mind.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So you're going to be there watching exactly how it does to you what it does to you. Can you picture that?
Yes.
So that's the reason that I feel quite confident that by the time this year is up, people will no longer be falling for what conditioned mind is putting out, because we will have examined every little trick it has up its little imaginary sleeve to keep you in that place of one down and feeling bad. So by the end of the year, I hope, I plan on, my intention is that we will no longer be able to be fooled, because we will know all the tricks that it's using.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I think it's possible. You know, it can sound kind of, I don't know what it could sound, but sort of puffed up to say that this is a process that hasn't been done before. As far as I know, it hasn't been done before. And so, you know, it's a maiden voyage. Maybe somebody is doing it. I don't know about it if they are. And so we don't actually know what the result of it is going to be. But it's kind of like taking off from Spain and heading for the New World, or sailing off the edge of the Earth, whichever comes first. So it's, you know, in 52 weeks we'll know how much it's possible to change our relationship with conditioned mind, to separate ourselves from conditioned mind. You know, it wants to be separate from us, and we're going to gain a little distance on it, and I think learn to observe ourselves from conscious, compassionate awareness primarily, rather than from egocentric karmic conditioning primarily.
Charting the course as we go along.
That's right. Yep, that's right. So we're going along, and then we find out. I mean, we could do a whole like a whole video game out of this, right? Because we're going along, and then up on this side of the ship pops up a giant and we recognize it for what it is, and we alter our course, and we steer around it, and then we run into a over here, and by the time we get from one shore to the next shore, we will know everything about what's out there in the depths, and we'll see it for what it is, and we'll know how to get around it. We'll know how not to be capsized by it.
Great. Okay, so it's not too late to sign up. You still got a couple weeks?
Yeah. Yeah. Great. We'll still take sign-ups for the next couple of weeks, just because we've had technological problems. Other people have technological problems. You know, people are out of town and that sort of thing. So we always have this little grace period, and we're willing to send out the, you know, the early stuff for a couple of weeks.
Uh-huh. So do we get something every day or every week?
It will probably be two or three times a week, three times a week.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much for offering the opportunity.
Well, you are most welcome. I hope your conditioned mind doesn't talk you out of it.
Well, at least I can watch it trying.
Exactly.
I don't have to act on it.
That's right. So you will have learned a lot whether you do the class or not.
Right. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Wanda.
Bye.
Take care.
Thanks for joining us, Wanda. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. It's been an exciting hour, Sherry.
It has been. It's been fun. It seems like there's a lot going on.
It does seem like there's a lot going on.
I think you started the conversation out noticing that.
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we can thank you for this lively conversation.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
You're very welcome.
Let's talk again.
Next week. I'd like to thank all of our listeners, all of our callers today. It was great to be on the air here, and I look forward to doing it again.
Yeah. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Please join us again next week for Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good night.